How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
What up, Wacky Wednesday? Jay Foreman, Austin Norman. We're the old school crew. We are brought to you by the Mercado, certified Piedmontese, special ingredients at Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th and Yankee Hill, 85th and Andre Matt, 168th and Maple up there in the O. Obviously, you know, slowly but surely, it's probably already made, or the decision is made, potentially next year going to the 105 and how that would change the landscape of college football and who it will hurt, who it will potentially help. And what will be the collateral damage of it? We'll talk about that today. We'll talk about college football playoff rankings that came on Tuesday last night. Excuse me. We'll go over a little bit of the coordinators, at least our old school take on it. The coordinators talked yesterday. We'll cover that a little bit. But more importantly, we're gonna do a little whiteboard session, not this segment, but the next. That will be.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. That would be a simple, like, something that I would do periodically, probably do it a lot for opponents, potentially, obviously for bowl games and obviously playoff games with the NFL and games during the year. But we'll break down a play via the whiteboard. It's a pretty cool thing we do. We'll be able to put up a couple screenshots and put up a pivotal play in the game. From USC, and I'll go tonight and try to get some screenshots for a pivotal offensive scheme that Nebraska could potentially face. Resembles a little bit of USC. I've been watching a little bit of tape. So we got a lot of stuff going on, obviously, right in the middle of the week. A little chilly weather, so, you know, right on time for the big bad Badgers to come in. But we got about 8 minutes before we go to break. But, you know, the big news, or just really Dabo Sweeney, and I think Coach Rule talked on it a little bit, was as you get towards the end of the season, potentially if you're looking 105 in the face and you're at potentially, you know, if you got 130, 140 kids on the roster, maybe one, say you're at 145, all things being equal, you will have 40 kids not on your team next year. Obviously, it really, really hurts the walk-on programs across the landscape of college football at every level. But then obviously with Nebraska, who has a rich history of finding players that begin their careers as a walk-on and then turn into legendary players in some instances, that helped win, or at least when I played, helped us win plenty of conference championships, division championships, and ultimately a big part of the three national championships. So it's near and dear to the program at Nebraska. It's also, you know, near and dear to me. Like, one of my best friends, Ben Butenbach, chiropractor as well, was a walk-on. He was a great player, great friend, great leader. You know, I think about guys like that, Brian Shaw. I think obviously Joel Makavica, who might be the best running fullback that we've ever had. Guys like that are walk-ons. I think about Buddha, Joe Wilkes, Matt Hoskinson. All those type of guys that, you know, Matt Verzo, all those guys that are walk-ons that end up, you know, not only contributing, but playing and starting at times at Nebraska. You know, in this, if we were in this day and time, Clint Brown, who I always talk about, was a big influence and helped me figure out what I was doing here at Nebraska. He was a walk-on, and he's a coach now in college. And so you got to think, not only is it affecting the players that become a part of the program, but also it affects, you know, in Clint's case, he's a coach. So, you know, I think some of the lessons that he learned by being a part of, you know, Nebraska for 4 or 5 years probably, you know, helped him become a, you know, pretty dang good college coach. So it's going to have big effects, you know, in a negative way for the walk-on programs. You're going to see a lot of kids that choose not to play football, which then, you know, doesn't allow them to not only be a part of any program that they choose to, but then also the life lessons of playing a team sport and doing it for the greater good and continue to work when you necessarily don't get the instant payoff. What we just talked about in the crossover with Eastrick, which was great. If you get a chance to go back and listen, what's missing, you're actually taking it away a little bit more from the fabric of college football. Yes, it's a push. It could up the ante of who you offer when you offer them, but it should be like that anyways. Now, when you got to have 105 guys on scholarships, or guys are, you know, or whatever sport, guys or girls, every person on the team is going to be on scholarship, there is some sacrifice. And so the walk-on programs or the walk-on athletes and the lower end of the rosters are going to be sacrificed. And the only plus side of it or potential is the Division II, FCS, NAIA, Division III could get the you know, after effects in a positive way. That means you'll be able to have a bigger pool to, you know, recruit from. But then again, some of the kids that maybe want to walk on there that maybe come from a smaller school won't get the chance to go there. So then it's going to be a trickle down effect. And then ultimately, it'll put more heightening and exposure and need will be more a la carte in the transfer portal, which then could hurt high school recruiting. So there's a lot of things that will indirectly be affected, you know, potentially if it goes to, you know, 105. And it's probably more than I'm even talking about right now, but just off the top of my head, it definitely is going to hurt some programs or just hurt just, you know, some young athletes that, you know, want a chance to just, you know, be at the University of Nebraska, play football, so forth and so on.
So, I mean, historically, I understand the value of it to the state. To the state, being able to allow athletes who want to play for Nebraska to stay in Nebraska mm-hmm. and be a part of it. That used to be a forum for intramural sports at the university level, for you to still be active in it and kind of bide your time.
Mm-hmm.
Club football,
yeah, sure,
being a thing. It also speaks to the days of actual junior varsity and freshman football.
Freshman football, yeah.
And I don't know why the conversation hasn't switched to, well, let's just bring back the thing that
worked. We used to have, yeah.
Like, this is a thing that worked, and I don't know any program in the country that doesn't understand the value of having, for a freshman quarterback who's not ready, a chance to get reps, get in the system, learn the verbiage, change his body for the kind of pudgy offensive lineman who wants to transform himself, the extra year of academic maturity.
Yeah.
That red shirt year, right? That, you know, we haven't said that there's a limit on the number of red shirts that you can actually have and have a red shirt program, right?
Mm.
Because I know for a fact that Iowa would match up with Nebraska in freshman football. They'd get on a bus and they would go play
somewhere, right?
Get some, you know, I don't understand why we're missing the layup on this.
Yeah, well, I think it's just because NIL was never, you know, done the right way. It's essentially a free-for-all. And then with the TV contracts and the potential of, you know, a couple power conferences potentially getting together, which is obviously Big Ten and SEC and so forth, you know, the ever-changing landscape of college football, you know, you kind of, you know, just gloss over that. I mean, let's be honest, the NCAA, you know, as it stands or as it was supposed to do for the greater good for student athletes. That was never it. It was essentially, you know, free labor, and we're seeing the byproduct of it. So,
I mean, can you do?
You can, but they won't do it. First of all the money, that would cost more money. So they're like, okay, we're already having everybody be on scholarship and so forth and so on. I think it'd be great if you got everybody on the same page with it, but then there'll be some schools that really don't want to do it. They figure like, we're going to try to go get our best 105 and we'll roll with our 105 versus if you had the other 40, you could get together and kind of do scrimmages. You could just do like,
why not have Nebraska prep?
Yeah, you should.
There are ways it makes my head hurt sometimes that if, for whatever amount of money, and we're talking about, let's say highball $1.5 million to get X number of players into the system, into the academic programs, right? They still have to be able to get to the University of Nebraska, or you're developing or advancing them academically while they're there, right? IMG has figured out on the high school level, and it's still a year more of maturity. That's one of the benefits of going to IMG is a year of academic and athletic maturity, right? Prep schools all over the country exist. The Naval Academy has a prep school, Creighton Prep. Yeah. For all intent and purposes, teaches and works from the same system. So why would you not encourage a 48-player, 50-player prep program that allows, and again, you can work from the same academic standard, same academic interest program.
I don't think academics they care about.
Well, but I mean, this
is you doing.
Well, yeah, I do not care about school.
Well, but I think that's a thing, right? Yeah. That people.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
People who struggle in their freshman year, as much as they struggle because of athletic immaturity, it's academic maturity, immaturity.
Well, it's time management.
Right.
It's dealing with college and all the different stuff, being away from home. They used to have freshman teams and all that, and they don't have them anymore. It's probably not financially beneficial, too, but it would. Plus, I don't think every school has the financial means, but I'm sure. The NCAA could scrounge up with some money for some lower-end schools or make it an option per conference or, you know, whatever you could. There could be – or you just have, I don't know, 10, 20 prep schools, I guess. I'm just throwing off a figure.
The prep school league's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, if it does, it's going to happen. I mean, it's great, but the guys that are going to be sacrificed are in between – when it goes to 105 and when the prep schools happen, because it's not going to be in conjunction with the 105. But, you know, eventually if it happens, I think it'd be great if there's 20 kind of college preps where you can kind of, you know, put together or put some kids there. What's a
second chance you know, sort of vibe.
You'd like to think that happens. JUCOs might be beneficiaries of it and stuff like that. If you can kind of say, listen, I can't get you on our 105 this year, but I can help you out in a roundabout way, whether setting you up with the NIL deal, but I need you to go to this coach at this place, at this school. He can get you right, and then I'll see you next year. You know, that's a different way to do it.
It happened. Right. I know when I was being recruited in 1979 that there were programs that said, listen, if you go here in year one as a freshman, they run the same system we run. They're coached under the same terminology. You'll be able to have a year of academic success under your belt. We trust you with that. Mm. Your body's going to change, and you'll be able to do that. So does Nebraska have a feeder school? Like, they used to go to Kansas and pull players from certain schools, and that was pretty regular. I know in Texas, those schools have feeder systems that
I don't know if they do. The prep school, that stuff is not going to come down the pipe no time soon. It's unfortunate because there's going to be a lot of, you know, it's kind of like I look at it like without NFL Europe, you don't get London Fletcher, you don't get Kurt Warner, you don't get a lot of Hall of Fame players.
Yeah.
It's no different than not having a prep school or a walk-on. By no means do I think either one of those would be a walk-on here, but in comparison to the NFL versus NFL Europe, which essentially was a six-game farm system, obviously in a whole nother continent, you got a lot of players out of there. I mean, heck, I remember my man, I call him Freaky Freddie Jones. He was the only Colorado Buff I liked besides Sam Rogers. He was a defensive end in college, came to Buffalo, was on the practice squad, didn't, you know, kind of got hurt and had a tricky high ankle sprain. They sent him over there after a couple years of being just kind of special teams. He ends up getting picked up by the Chiefs, and he ends up playing three more years. He ends up playing, you know, legit. And then he started playing because he actually got – because he never played linebacker before. So then he got a chance to go over there to play outside linebacker, middle linebacker. So now he was more appealing to when he went to the Chiefs. He could play special teams like no other, but now he had a ability to back up all three spots. And so, just on that alone, you're going to be missing out on some great players and, great opportunities for see a kid to come in. Cause you'll get a kid that, you know, he might be from the, you know, middle of nowhere of Kansas or even sometimes the middle of nowhere of Texas that needs to go, that normally would be able to go to whatever university and really, you know, get bigger, faster, stronger, but he's a great athlete and maybe has the best mindset. And then heck, he might get taller, but now those kids are just going to be walking around the face of the earth. Now, if things change and the landscape of college football changes to the 105, then sometimes you go back, but I think it's going to put pressure on the staff to find and start to create true, and I'll do air quotes, honest partnerships with lower level schools.
My question is, if we look at this moving forward, is this going to make those lower levels of football deeper because there's, you know, 45, 50 guys that would have been on a Division I roster, or is it what they should have been because these walk-ons are probably best suited for these levels? So we finally get to see just how good the true level of competition is, down a step.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. Potentially. Well,
we know that there were guys, Mike Rozier was sitting at a JUCO. Terrell Farley was sitting at a JUCO. Right. Like, this isn't new business. It's just revisited, rebranded, rewrapped, and
yeah, right. But
and guys like that exist.
Yeah, being at a JUCO, because you're not a qualifier is different.
Not really.
Well, I'm saying like those guys are always going to be special. What I'm saying is across the board, like fringe players that are, you know, walk-ons to a D1 roster. You know, if roster sizes weren't 150, they probably wouldn't have ended up D1 anyway. So this is the level they should be at. Whereas Rozier and Farley always belong D1.
Whatever the number of there's okay. So for every great athlete who made it to Nebraska, those athletes themselves can name two or three guys who are better athletes than they are. And either they got in the wrong system, they did something dumb off the field, or they just didn't get the break. Like Jay can tell you, he got friends that, listen, they were ballers.
Yeah, I mean, that's in every sport. I think the difference between back when we had props and heavy JUCO was more of a, I mean, we'll get into it, like a systematic, you could say like systematic, I guess somewhat racism where they don't get the type of teachers that they need. So therefore you can't qualify in the ACT. I know guys that didn't even know what the ACT was, and that's how they, because they had to go to JUCO. So their high school, nobody was helping them. Mm-hmm. That's different versus I am academically in, you know, accepted, but I'm not good enough. It could help the lower levels, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get a lot of guys and just going to say, you know what? I only want to, there's guys that are walk-ons and they're cool with being walk-ons. Majority of them are very realistic when they're walk-ons. They're here, but they might want to work their way up to be second on the depth chart and then be the core special teams guy and then be a guy that can step in and eventually start. That's what they're not coming here. It's like, oh, I'm just a walk on, and then I'm gonna end up starting in year two. That's not usually the way it works. So you might get a lot of guys that might just move on and say, you know what, I'm gonna go be an engineer. I'm gonna go do this and go do that. And then you got some that might go down to potentially, hopefully, Division II and then FCS and all that. Then the pool will be bigger. But then that's also gonna trickle down some of the lower level of the FCS, and those guys might quit. So there's gonna be some positives of it. But then also some of the positives of it going to be, well, you didn't give me a scholarship at school A. I'm from your state and I go to FCS and I ball out and then I get to transfer up and then I get to show you. That's where you'll see some good stories of that. And it's just a Bible. You're not going to be able to service everybody, but I'm going to tell you what, for those student athletes that you make the 105 and you down like the lower, 60 or below, you better look. Don't get comfortable. Do not get comfortable. Because I'm telling you, it will be the bottom of that 30, 40 will constantly be revolving.
Which is, again, where maybe programs with, I don't know, maybe a lot of former NFL alumni could say, hey, this is what it takes to compete and stick on a roster on a long-term basis.
Yeah, but they will move and they will shuck and jive that lower 30. Because if your back's against the wall, I'm going to really look like I'm going to think of me more. If I was a good top 50, 40, and I want to make some hay, and I can go get some more 20 guys that from the FCS, and I can bring them in, starters and rotational players, then the younger guys that have only been here for a year, you got to go. Sorry. So it's a now. So as much as people, you know, like in the Big Ten, you know, or generally here where, you know, like down in the SEC, it's a one-year contract when you're on scholarship. That's what everything's going to be across the board. So no more coming here and you can kind of ride coattails and keep your nose clean, get steak, sweatsuits, and all that other stuff, and just kind of go through it. And you're here to party versus to play. You better be thinking about playing before you're partying. And that's including the players that are playing.
And you can't miss. Now coaches won't be able to miss. Like, you're not, that extra luggage will cost you.
Yeah, you can't miss, but you, if you do miss, you better rectify that. You have options to rectify it quickly, because now you can be able, you can, all right, dude, you gotta go. You're not good.
Well, it's 364 programs and 50 plus players. Do the math. You can fix a problem. They're out there, and that's just from this level. That's not even from the JUCO. Next level division two, like literally you've got access now. And if you're just not good at it, that's on you.
Yeah. It's going to be year to year basis though, too. Not year to year, but I mean, depends on who you are. You're going to have to change some stuff based on what you're doing. So anyways, we'll revisit that. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and then we're going to try to get to this whiteboard Wednesday from the USC game. So the one play, or there's plenty of plays. One play I felt like it was good to teach off of. I've been in this position plenty of times, and it's the difference between a half a step and a right hand and left hand that potentially could have, you know, swayed the game another way. So anyway, Jay Foreman, DP Austin, old school, we'll be right back.
Your time and expertise are valuable, making Focus one of the most important resources to have at work. These days, professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication. And it can be difficult to stay on task with all the emails and documents you have to get through. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, you can stay focused and quickly get through your work with relevant real-time suggestions wherever you write. It works across 500,000 apps and websites, so it can help with everything from brainstorming presentation ideas to sounding more confident and persuasive in emails and reports. For 15 years, Grammarly has offered best-in-class communication support and enterprise-grade security on a business model that doesn't sell your data. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.